All right, hey everybody, Tim Blankenship here again with Divorce 661, Day in the Life of an LDA, Daily Perspective, Episode 60, Daily Perspective. Just remind you, Perspective is spelled that way because that's the name of the company and how it's spelled. I'm a legal document preparer specializing in divorce, essentially a paralegal, if you will, in California and handling divorce cases throughout California. I want to first off start off by thanking all my clients and new and soon to come over the last 12 years. Appreciate your support. I do this daily podcast to go over things that come up from clients, questions that come up on consultations, issues folks are having, whether they're clients or not. They've emailed me, they've had questions, and they need help with their divorce. Maybe they're trying to do it on their own. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on and ask you, why are you doing your own divorce? First of all, I'd like to get some answers on that. Let me know in the comments below. I'd be happy to review those. First thing I always do is go over the stats for the day/week. So far, we've had 14 consultations, and these come from counties all over California. I made a few notes where some of these came from: San Francisco, Solano, LA County. We always have a ton. Alameda, Orange County, San Diego, Alameda. Oh, I put that twice. Must have been two. San Luis Obispo. New clients. We've had 8 so far this week. 135 new clients for the year so far, which is about 45 a month. That's been our average for several years. So we do very high volume because we're handling amicable clients who have an agreement or will come to an agreement at some point in the process, avoiding court and all that. So we're able to handle a lot of that because you're not going to court. There's no trials and all that. Of the 8 new clients we had this week so far, 4 were new cases starting from scratch. They haven't filed a single thing with the court yet. Generally what happens is they will have looked at the paperwork, downloaded the forms, done something like that, and then realize they're kind of getting over in over their head. The other 4 cases were what I call judgment preparation cases or rejected judgment cases. But these are cases where people have started their divorce, thought they wouldn't get in over their head, got somewhere in the process. Maybe they filed the initial summons petition, did the service, and then looked at the next steps and said, oh gosh, I need to get some help on this. And they found one of my YouTube videos, or as many times the case, they will have turned in their judgment multiple times and had multiple rejections and finally throw in the towel and get some professional help. And so I'm happy to help you guys in either case. I can take over your case at any point. As long as you guys will sign off on the paperwork, I can fix it. I can get it done. No problem. We had some approved divorce cases, one in LA, one in Orange, a Ventura County case. All of our divorce cases are approved before the 6 months. And people always ask, because they watch a lot of our videos, how is this possible? And here's why. If you guys are amicable, as I said earlier, there is no court, there is no hearings. So it becomes procedural in nature. And so what happens is we file the initial paperwork, we get a case number issued, and we can turn in your final paperwork, not just the request in our default, your settlement agreement, your judgment package, everything, proof of service, all at the same time after at least 31 days have passed. Because if you're doing a default with written agreement, which I recommend you do, if you're amicable, no response is filed. Therefore, you don't have that secondary court fee. And so that's why we have to wait the 31 days. People always ask, even my current clients say, Tim, why do we have to wait? Well, because we're technically doing a default case, the court requires 31 days to go by to technically give the respondent a chance to respond. Even though I know, because I'm working with both of you and you guys know that that's not going to happen, the court doesn't know that. It's still the process that has to go through. So we'll turn those into court and get 31 days later. And if it's LA County or some of the other e-file counties, we can have it approved in like 6 weeks. And I can't guarantee that because the e-filing has been weird lately, taking longer to file petitions across various counties. But with the e-file, with the judgments, they can take a couple days to a couple weeks and you're done. Yes, the 6 months still applies. So what happens is you'll get your approval in, say, week 5, week 6 in LA County. Other counties, month 3 or month 4, sometimes longer, but generally always before the 6 months. But they will post-date the effectiveness of your divorce, not the agreement. As soon as the judge signs it, your divorce is approved. It's just because of the 6-month cooling off period, you're not officially divorced until the date on your judgment passes. After that passes, nothing happens. You don't get anything else from the court. I always get asked that. They're like, Tim, now what? The divorce finally happened, you know, 2 months after our divorce was approved. I say, great. You're single people now. That's it. You don't have to, nothing else is going to come. You're not getting a smelly sticker, scratch sticker to smell. It's just you guys are done. And that's not normally the case. People going through contested divorce cases that go to court, go to trial. The 6 months isn't an issue. They're going to be, 10 months, a year, 2 years before, trial and whatever happens before they're finalized. Remember, the 6 months is just the soonest your divorce can get finalized, not a deadline. And I just had let a client know that because while most of our divorce cases start and finish within a month, I would say, even other counties in California, because we do the initial filing, we get the case number issued, we do their settlement agreement, and all their judgment package, usually in a week or two, then they will sign it, notarize it, and mail it into my office. That's what you see there. I got a lot of work ahead of me. This is what's coming in the last week or so that I need to process. There's probably 35 cases. Those are for the counties that don't e-file, but we get those in and then we get those processed with the court, get those submitted. And some of these courts take 3 or 4 months because we do the snail mail. We do priority service to them, but then because the courts are backlogged in processing, it takes that amount of time. That's why we want to get them in sooner versus later. Because if you turn it in, at the 6 month mark, it's going to take 3 or 4 months before you're approved. So going back to that, a client today who started with us 6 months ago, and while most people have their settlement agreement into us, their terms into us earlier, much earlier, we will have those finalized. They said, oh God, I have to turn in give you my terms because our 6 months is coming up and our divorce is about to be approved. I said, well, you can get me your terms, but I still have to draft your settlement agreement. You guys need to sign it, notarize it, and submit it. And then it's going to go into the review process. And I don't recall if they are in LA County, which if they are, it'll be, because the 6 months have passed and the 30 days have passed and we already started the clock on the 6 months, we can e-file it and they'll probably be approved in a couple of days. But if this turns out to be like Alameda, Santa Clara, San Francisco, San Diego, Orange County, San Bernardino, Riverside, any other county, it's going to be 3+ months before their divorce is finalized. So just keep that in mind. The 6 months is not a deadline. It's the soonest. And if you turn in your settlement agreement or your judgment package after that, it's going to go well beyond the 6 months. That's why I like to get them in line for review as soon as we can. We had settlement agreements finalized five today. So we had, of the 8 people that hired me today, 3 of them have already their complete cases done internally working with me. I did the initial filing. We got a case number issued from the court. I did their judgment package, settlement agreement, all their stuff. They signed it, notarized it, and we're just waiting until the 31 days have passed, if I told you, to be able to submit that for approval. Again, the 6 months still applies, even though we can turn them in for pre-approval and get that signed by the court. Okay, let's talk about some of the issues that have come up in the consultations and judgment reviews I've done, people that hired me for their judgments being rejected and so forth. So here we go. Here's my notes. It just takes one simple checkbox for your judgment to be rejected. The court won't make a single revision for you. So we have had folks, there's some people that don't want to hire us necessarily. They just think they think they only have a few things they need to fix. And it turns out there's several, and they'll try and get me to give them some free information, which I will to a degree, but I'm not the self-help center. I think I have that as part of what I want to talk about later today. But one simple checkbox, that's all it takes. You miss a box on any of the forms, the 180, the 170, the 144, 165, anywhere. You just don't tick that box and they will reject your judgment and say you didn't check one of these boxes. And usually it's an option, right? It's not just checking a box. The reason there's boxes is because there's options. Is it 1, 2, or 3? What applies here? Is it what type of divorce is it, like on the 170? Is it a default with, without, or uncontested type divorce? You don't check that box, your whole judgment case gets rejected. They will not just, and how simple would it be for them just to check that box? They know what it is. They know what kind of divorce case it is. Fix it, put it on the copies, and then process and file your judgment. They won't do it. They'll go through it. And usually that's not, if you're doing your own divorce, not going to be your only error. So they will just go in, mark that's incorrect, and here's your error, and they'll keep going, review a few more items, rejected it for a few more items, and turn it back into court. And guess what? Just to go into that in more detail, not only will they not make any corrections or changes to anything in your judgment, they also are not, I'm talking about the courts, they are also not going to review your entire judgment package and say, here's the 27 reasons your divorce is being rejected. They're not there to explain to you. They're not the self-help center either. Keep that in mind. The clerks are there to approve your judgment, make sure it's done good. They will give you the reject items, but they're not going to tell you how to fix it. I would say the self-help center is different in that they don't review the paperwork like the, because they're not the court. They will essentially try and work through that with you, but they also make errors as well because most of those folks are volunteers. So they're not checking your entire case. They're going to find a couple of reasons to reject your judgment. Not that they're looking for it, but they are. They'll reject it, send it back to you. You will fix them. And this was on one of the consultations I had today. She had submitted her judgment twice so far. The first rejection, she corrected the errors, thought I'm good to go, turned it back in, got rejected again for additional errors. And I told her this is commonplace. I used to do that for the court. I used to work with the courts, Fraley County, review the judgments in the back office. The judge isn't reviewing those. Can you imagine the judge sitting there reviewing documents? These are all done by the clerk's office within the departments, within the family law department. So I used to do that. I know exactly what happens. You go through it, mark a few things. You got 4,000 more cases you have to review and you don't have time. So you're on a quota. So you go through there and mark off a few things, reject it, knowing it's going to come back. And when it comes back, go through it a little deeper, find some more issues. And that's what was happening to her. And I've seen people have that happen to them 5-6 times before they've picked up the phone and called me. And by the way, one of the consultations I had today said, oh, I was afraid to, pick up the phone and call you. I was watching hundreds of your videos and I just figured I'd call you. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. If you guys are interested in hiring me to take over your divorce case, give me a call, schedule a consultation, go to divorce661.com. You can access my calendar, schedule a call. I'll be happy to discuss the turn, I'm not going to go over your case like the self-help center would or the court, but I will look at your case summary, see where you guys are at in the process. I can give you some pointers if that's what you're looking for. But ultimately, if you're calling me, it should be that you're interested in retaining my services, looking for to get help as opposed to just trying to get free information out of me. Because I know I'm more accessible, obviously. Like, you can't get a hold of the self-help centers, right? You email some of them, it takes 2 weeks for a response, and then it's a very boilerplate response, not applicable to your actual question. And I've tried to do live videos for hours, 4, 5, 6 hours on some days, and two people will show up. So trying to figure out how to get that going where more people will show, because I don't want to say it's a waste of my time, because usually what I do is just run the camera and I'm in the background working, but it would be great. I'd be happy to help 100 people in a 4-hour window that either don't have the funds to hire me, don't have the ability to hire me, or just have a question or two. I'd be happy to become the self-help center for the court. It helps, with on YouTube and getting views and all that. So it is a benefit to me as well. But I am a paid service in the end of the day. So if you guys are looking, just wanted me to take over, you've already filed your divorce case, I can help you finalize it quickly, usually just a couple of days. And if you're a new client, obviously we can help you as well. All right, next. Completed a judgment for new clients who tried to file their own, had lots of mistakes, and we had to amend the summons and petition. They had served the first petition with mistakes, so we're able to use that jurisdiction beat, but then they had to reserve the amended petition and wait the 31 days. So if you start your own divorce case, when you file your summons petition, you served it, you may even turned in your judgment. If there are critical errors on the judgment, or I'm sorry, on the petition or summons or any of those initial documents, we have to amend your petition. So if you've served your initial petition, the jurisdiction date, the date the 6 month starts, will still be effective, even though you served an incorrect petition or petition with errors, they still will count that as the date the clock starts. So if we have to go in and amend the petition and summons or whatever documents that were those initial documents, it has to be reserved. So you would still, if this is your scenario, you will still use the jurisdiction date on your initial service. But then when you file your amended summons and petition, you have to go in and do and reserve it and then do a proof of service of amended summons and petition. You're not doing an amended proof of service. You're doing a proof of service of amended summons petition. So you're not going to use that date of the second service on your 180. You're going to do that. You're going to use the prior date. So we've had two things I want to talk about here. We've had clients where, oh, and I want to go back to that. You would still have to wait 31 more days because you reserved a new summons and petition. So the 31 days will start again before you can turn in your judgment package, but it doesn't restart the clock on the 6 months. And that's why I'm saying you would use that original proof of service date from the error, the proof of service with errors. I know it's confusing because it is confusing. So it's hard to say. This gentleman that had called, reached out to us, misspelled on his summons petition his spouse's name. Happens all the time, but when he went to do the default and the proof of service and try and turn his judgment package, he used the correct spouse's name on all the final document, and then the judgment package got rejected, and they said the names do not match on the summons and petition that are on the proof of service and all and 165, your request and your default and your judgment package. So they basically said on the reject letter, which I had them send over to me, it said, if the names are correct on the summons and petition, then you need to make everything else match. If the names are incorrect on the summons and petition, you need to refile your summons and petition and start over. And so they didn't say that. They didn't tell them what to do. And they generally won't tell you procedurally what to do, but that's what needs to happen. And that's what I told him. I said, you need to start over. And this is a 2023 case, I think June. So he's, you know, 10 months into his divorce and he has to essentially start over. A new filing, new summons, new petition, refile, reserve, file an amended proof of service of amended summons petition, wait the 31 days, then turn in the judgment package. So if you think, and if they had a easy divorce, you know, everyone says their divorce is easy because they're amicable and they're in agreement, and you would think it would be the case, but it's not. So here's this easy divorce and they're 10 months into it and they have to start over completely. The good part is because he had served the wrong summons and petition, the 6 months actually started. So the 6 months are over. So that part's fine. But the downside is he has to do this amendment, do the refiling, do the reserving, and then wait another 31 days because there's been a new service of that petition. So that's why that happens like that. So we had there's one thing I also want to talk to you about. There was the names being wrong. I forget what the other thing I want to talk about, but it was related to that topic. Let's go then on to the next subject. So, okay, so here it is. Speaking of amending your petition, make sure you file a proof of service of amended summons petition and not an amended petition. So I talked about that, but I want to go a little deeper on that. When people have to amend their summons and petition and refile it, and then they serve it, they're filling out the proof of service and they're putting amended at the top of the proof of service. That tells the court you are amending the proof of service, not that you are filing a proof of service of amended summons and petition. So, and that's very tricky, and people miss this all the time. What you have to do on the proof of service is where it says, where you check the box number one, I'm serving the summons and petition. Above those words, you have to write amended, because that's what you are serving, the amended petition, the amended summons, the amended UCCJA. You're not filing an amended proof of service. If you're filing an amended proof of service, they're thinking you're filing you're amending that form for some reason, not that you are filing a proof of service of amended forms. Okay. See, I've been doing this 12 years and I have a hard time saying it because it's very complicated. It can be very tricky. What else came up in consultations here? Okay. What do you do if one party lives in one county and another party lives in a different county altogether? First of all, it's not an issue. You do have a choice of counties. Assuming you meet the criteria of having, you know, lived in the state and the county for the required period of time, 6 months and 3 months, you have a choice. But with my service, in this case, it was one spouse lived in LA County, the other one lived in Alameda County. And I said, okay, well, I am going to file your case in LA County, and here's why. Number one, LA County, I want to show you the difference in two courts. This is the perfect way to do it. LA County, I can e-file your case same day, get a same day case number, start the clock on the 6 months, all the same day. I can draft all your final paperwork. Everything can be electronically signed. Everything can be e-filed with the court. It's a seamless process, and it's definitely my preferred court. Alameda County is like every other county. We can e-file the initial summons and petition, but it'll take like a week to get back. It's definitely not same day. They will issue it, even though it's a week later, they will issue it on the day that we e-filed it, but it takes them 5 court days, 7 court days to actually process it on their end due to being shorthanded. Again, this is not just Alameda. This is all courts. Once we get that, everything else needs to be snail mailed to the court. No electronic signatures on the settlement agreement, judgment, procedural documentation. So once I prepare that, I do it all the same thing. I still prepare your settlement agreement, judgment package, procedural documentation, and so forth. Then you have to print it, sign it, go to a notary, do all that, and mail it to my office. And that's what you see right here. That's those counties. These counties, just so you know, which is every other county than like three, LA County is one of them. I think Solano, we can now e-file the judgment, and one more. I can't think of what it was, but they're slowly coming on board, which will be a miracle for both you and for me, because then we can have your divorce done in 6 weeks as opposed to 4 to 5 months. All right. What do we have next here? Equalizing assets. Talk about 401ks, homes. This came up on a consultation, spouse support. So let me start broad scope here. When you guys have are working towards a settlement agreement, don't look at each individual issue individually. That didn't make sense. Look at everything as a whole in a balancing act with your all your assets and debts, alimony and child support and so forth. I'll give you an example. So let's say, and this was the case. Let me give you the specifics of this particular case of these clients that hired me. The spouse was going to keep the home. Wife was going to keep the home. And in lieu of that, the husband was going to keep his 401k and there'd be no spouse support. So in this case, the husband, there generally would have been spouse support because husband made more than the wife. And so part of the deal was because there was so much equity in the home, they agreed that, and I don't know the real numbers off the top of my head, but let's say there's $500,000 equity in the home and there was $500,000, no, let's say $250,000 in the 401k. Let's make it easy math. $400,000 in the 401k. So spouse would have got 200 of that. So, but what we're doing is we're equalizing it. So $500,000 in equity in the home, $400,000 in the 401k. There's only a $100,000 gap in there, right? So in that case, let's say they're addressing spouse support. What you could do, and it's not a recommendation, just a way of looking at this, is say, well, why don't we, and I think this is the conclusion they came to, instead of me paying you spouse support and then you have to buy me out of half, you know, of the remainder of the $100,000 in equity in the home, why don't I just not pay you spouse support, you know, and then we call it a wash. And that's what they did. And you could go run and do the math and see, you know, how long would it take to pay $50,000 in spouse support. Maybe this wouldn't work if spouse support was going to be $3,000 a month for the rest of your life. Then maybe the spouse support would have been more than the equity in the home. But what if you couldn't refinance the house, which is a huge issue right now? Talk about this all the time. Clients are asking me all the time, what can we do with the house, the issues with interest rate and refinancing, qualifying for a buyout and all that, and coming up with some very interesting settlement agreement arrangements, then this would be a workable situation. We've had people who have entered into an agreement where the first in a similar scenario, different circumstances, but wife wanted to keep the home to keep the kids in it. And husband didn't want the home, but did want the kids to be in the home with the mom and had a 401k and a retirement. And even though the total value of the retirement and the 401k were more than the equity in the home, the wife said, it's more important for me to have the home than the money from the 401k. And because I know if we have to divide it and I say, I want the pension, you know, my community property interest in the pension and the 401k, it's going to force us to have to sell the home. And it's more important I keep the home. So it's not always about dollars and cents. It can be more about your family, continuity of, you know, keeping your kids in the home and all that. And so all of that is our options and things you guys can do. The court will not interfere with your decision-making ability. They're not going to get involved in looking at a level of fairness. That is all completely up to you. People are concerned if they have to divide their 401k. This was clients that hired me yesterday as well. They had started their own divorce and they're reading online. They're getting confused. Then they're watching my videos telling them, you know, real talk. I should look at what that means, but sound like the truth. And they're saying, Tim, you're saying you don't need to divide everything. The court's saying we are. They're making us file these property declarations. And I said, yeah, I know the court websites are confusing. And I said, I'm glad the court's websites are confusing and making you guys do all this crazy stuff because it's driving you guys to come to me. Not that I want to take advantage of that, but I am a for-profit business. At least I'm trying to be. So, but yeah, you don't have to divide your 401ks. If you guys each want to keep your own assets and debts entirely, which is 50% of our clients are doing that, even though it's completely unequal, the courts do not care as long as you guys agree and sign the settlement agreement and use my service. 2023 divorce case was rejected and didn't know there was anything wrong until they submitted the judgment, only to find out they misspelled the name on the summons and petition, causing the entire case to reject. We talked about that a bit. And in fact, we talked about that in detail. So I love when I have my notes and then I go off the top of my head and I go and cover things in advance. All right, next subject. Okay, here's your real talk. Why are you trying to do your own divorce? You have kids. You have assets, debts, pensions, potential spouse support, potential child support, potential custody schedules. Then you're talking, okay, so you have to make these decisions on your own. Then you're dealing with the court. Now you're trying to figure out how to file forms and you're reading the website, how to do it. Maybe you're watching my video on how to fill out the forms, which are amazing. But my videos, the court's websites cannot cover every nuance that your case has. Your case is going to be probably 99% similar to every case I've handled. And there's going to be a 1% that's completely different, or you guys have an arrangement you want to make, or some type of agreement you want to place, and you're not sure if you can do it. The question is, why are you trying to do your own divorce? It's a very complex, complicated process. You miss one checkbox, like we said earlier. You don't serve something properly. You don't do something in a certain time period. You don't attend a hearing. I mean, there's so many variables that can come up in your divorce. I just don't get why you guys are trying to do it your own. I did put out a video today that said, you're an idiot if you're trying to do your own divorce. And I said it jokingly. I said, just kidding. But in the video, I was saying, I know you're trying to save money. And otherwise, why would you do it yourself, right? Trying to save money. I think that's the root cause. But in exchange for supposedly saving money, you are spending your time, your resources, your evenings, missing work, going to court, trying to serve spouses, you know, serve each other. And I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff. People serving paperwork doesn't need to be served. By the time they hire me, they've done all kinds of stuff, spent all kinds of money on filing a response unnecessarily when they're in agreement, hiring process servers, which is totally unnecessary. So really consider thinking of hiring someone, preferably me, to handle your divorce case. You will be amazed at how fast and easy I can get your divorce case through because I've been doing this for 12 years, 600 approximately cases a year. And even so, and dealing with all the courts across California and knowing all those nuances, some cases can still be challenging. So how do you expect to do this? Whatever you do, I couldn't decide, hey, I'm going to go be an HR person or a firefighter or I could be a cop because I used to do that. But, you know, I don't assume to be able to do your job. You shouldn't assume to be able to do this. So there you go. There's your admonishment why you shouldn't do your own divorce. All right, let's talk about some online divorce issues. Let me read my notes here. Okay, and this is perfect because I came up with this. I want to talk about this. I came up with this before I even had the consultation about this, which was the exact issue. And I don't know if they called me because they saw the video I did on this today, but online divorce services. I did a video that said, what's the best online divorce service? We're talking about like Divorce Writer and LegalZoom and OnlineDivorce.com, and there's hundreds of them. And my answer was none of them are good for when it comes to divorce. And here's what a gentleman who called me today from Orange County. They had used one of these online divorce services and they said, yeah, Tim, I punched all my information. I spent half a day, I think he said 6 hours, half a day entering my information in there and, pay the fee, $12 or whatever they charge. You get what you pay for, especially with this. And when it was done, I hit enter and it gave me, 400 pages of documents that I had to print. And then a 16-page instruction sheet of what to do. And that is the nightmare you are dealing with when you go through an online divorce service, which I am not. I'm a human being here, sitting here. I'm a human person. As you see, you don't see anyone in my office. I do everything myself. I do all the consultations. I do all the videos. I do all the paperwork, all the filings, everything. I am not, definitely not an online service. When I finish your paperwork, I'm not sending it to you to say, good luck, here's a 16-page instruction sheet, go file it on your own. No, when you are done, I am filing it with the court. And for a couple of reasons. One, if I send you off with your paper, you're going to have the same issues you have with an online divorce service. You're going to go file it, mess it up, and it's going to get rejected. Then you're going to come back and blame me. And that's going to take me more time than just if I would have done it the first time. So that's why if you hire me, I do everything. I don't just do pieces. I don't review your paperwork. So you can go off and do it on your own. If you hire me, I do a full takeover, full service, full filing, dealing with the court on your behalf. And guess what? You're going to be thankful that I did, especially those who have tried to do their own divorce and got stuck. Once they hire me, you know, and their divorce is approved in 3 days, they're like, I didn't even know this was possible. So this gentleman's going to hire us, I assume, this Orange County client, because he just has a stack of papers, already spent 6 hours on it. And he said that it's wrong because guess what? He blamed the online service for the wrong information. But if you answer a question on these online divorce services wrong, it's going to put whatever you put in the question into the auto-populated forms. So it's going to be completely worthless. You got to know what the information goes in there. Although you put bad information in, you're going to get bad information out. Okay. Next subject. Once you have filed, you can submit all final documents at once, including the proof of service and the entire judgment package. So people say, Tim, how do you get your divorce cases done so quickly? Could you imagine if we went through the 6-month process as the court would put you through? And I think I could show you some differences of if you guys did your own divorce, trying to use the court self-help center, they're going to do this to you. They're going to break it into 3 steps. Step one or more. Step one, do your initial summons petition filing and go to a class perhaps. Maybe do a Zoom call where they'll try and help you because I think all the in-person stuff is out. Do that, then go hire a process server and serve your paperwork on your spouse. So you're going to go out and do that. So you spend time doing your initial filing, hiring a process server, or maybe get a friend or relative to do it. Then you file your proof of service, and then you go back to court and say, okay, now what's next? Oh, now you have to do your preliminary declaration disclosures, your 140, 142, 150, and file and serve that on your spouse. Okay, so you go ahead and do that, and then you go and serve your spouse that paperwork. Meanwhile, the paperwork your spouse received, says that you have to file a response. So you see what I'm doing? It's like going through this bracketed process, which is, it's not the wrong process. It's just long and drawn out. As opposed to, here's how Divorce 661 Tim service is. You guys hire me collectively. We file an initial summons petition, get a case number issued, and then we do everything else. We don't break it up into steps, file, serve, go to the court, do this, then the response. No, we do the initial filing, get the case number issued, usually the same day. Then I send out a worksheet to collect the terms of your agreement. It's not a court form. It's just something I've created to collect the raw data from you. What are you keeping? What's your spouse keeping? What's custody? Joint legal, joint physical? What do you want? Is your spouse support? Yes or no? If yes, how much? Or if you don't know, let me know. I'll run some numbers for you. Same for the child support. Raw data. I mean, it's very basic, simple, like plain English. What do you guys want? Don't worry about what the court will say. What do you guys want? Show me the money. Show me your terms. And then I draft all final paperwork, proof of service, notice and acknowledgement, declaration disclosure, all the disclosures, your settlement agreement, your judgment package, the whole shot. Send it to you guys for review. Maybe a few tweaks back and forth, or maybe I need some additional information. And then that's probably happened in a week or two. There's no rush, but people, when they hire me, generally have an agreement or they're working on an agreement. So we'll get it done as quickly as you get me the information. And then we are usually waiting. Like I have like 9 judgment packages that I can file electronically with LA County that I can't turn in for 3 more weeks because of that whole 31-day thing I was talking about. So they're sitting there, I have it on my calendar of when to submit it. And that's just because of court procedural delays, not delays, but their timelines that we have to let go by. but we are done way in advance. Can you imagine working with me for 2 days and all your paperwork is done? This happened twice already this week. And it's pretty common where everything is completed, start to finish, notarized settlement agreement, judgment package, blah, 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 all done. And I'll say, hey, I'll talk to you in 3 weeks when I can turn it in for review. And then we'll have your approval in a couple of days. So which is a better version there? Yes, you're going to spend a little money in hiring me. And let me tell you why it's a little. If you go through the traditional uncontested divorce process following the court's rules and the what they give you, and if you've gone into court, have you received the packet? You know what I'm talking about, blue packet, pink packet. Depends on if you have kids or don't have kids. Yeah, I worked at the self-help center 13 years ago. I know what's going on down there. So I lost track because I wasn't going to talk about that. But, you know, that's what you're up against going that route. Oh, I was talking about the money thing. So the traditional course of the divorce, if you're doing it yourself with using the packets, is, you know, doing the filing and serving all that. Then the next step, step two, your spouse needs to file a response within 30 days. And generally that's what you'll do because that's what it says to do on the packet. And half the clients that call me to take over the divorce case have already paid that filing fee. As opposed to with my service, we don't have you have the respondent file the response because not necessarily an amicable divorce case where you guys agree. It's called a default, no response filed with agreement. That's what that definition is. Client that hired us yesterday, I'm telling you, I had 6 new clients in one day yesterday. Pretty crazy day. She was just about to file the response. And I said, no, don't, you know, you don't need to file the response. You know, thank God you called me today because I just saved you $435. So why do I say it's going to cost you a little money? Because here's why. If you guys each, if you file the petition, it's $435. If you file the response, $435. Already $870 in, and you're doing all the paperwork yourself. Oh, and I was going to talk about later. I'll probably go over it again. But these people pay $225 for a process server. And I've seen people charge $125, $175, $200. This is the highest, $225. So they would have been $870 in plus $225. They're at $1,200. Here's how my service makes sense. So they're into it. Call it $1,200. If you have assets, debts, kids, I charge $1,600. I charge $1,200. Put it that way. You still have the court fee, but you only pay it once, not twice. So if you remove one of those court fees because we're not having the response file, therefore not paying the $435, my service costs like $500 or $600 as a wash. Less so if you don't have assets, debts, or kids, and have short term marriage, and you fall into my $800 package. It's really costing you not a whole lot because you just take away that other filing fee and it helps absorb some of our costs. Plus you're not looking for a process server paying $225. Plus you're not going to court, wasting your time. Hearings being set because you guys finalize your paperwork or 6 judgment rejections throughout 2 years. I think it's a small price to pay to get it done in 5 or 6 weeks. That's just my opinion. Okay. What do we got next here? Okay. So I handle your entire divorce case, or I don't handle it all. I don't review your paperwork so you can file it on your own. I had probably 4 consultations this week that they had no intention, of hiring me. I could tell. And I can tell generally by the question in the consultation request. And I have a form that you'll fill out, schedule a consultation at divorce661.com. And it'll say, they'll say something like, and just the intent. I can tell if you're intending on hiring me once we have a discussion and make sure we're a good fit. And I make sure, you know, you guys are a good fit for me and vice versa. But some of them will say, I have a divorce rejection on my judgment and I'm trying to fix it. And I need to know what do I put on this box so I can resubmit it? Obviously that person has no intention of working with me or hiring me. They're just using me to get free information. If that's you, call a self-help center because I am not the self-help center. Like I said earlier, I'm for profit. Some people will email me. And if it's just a quick little blurb, I'll say, well, you know, here's how you fix it. And, you know, they're thinking, look, I have one issue that I need to fix. The judgment rejected from one issue. And I'll say, okay, here's how you fix that. But this is not, you know, you're going to get other rejections as we spoke earlier. And they'll go on their way. But yeah, I don't review your paperwork. I've had people use these online divorce services. And like you know, we talked about earlier, and they'll say, Tim, I did all the thing. I printed all the stuff. I want you to go over it with me and make sure there's no errors. Absolutely not. You know, it'll take, and I told this to this person earlier, I said, it'll take me four times as long to look over all that paperwork and try and correct all the errors than do it from scratch the right way. So that's why I either take over your entire case or not at all, because can you imagine if I said, oh yeah, this looks good, and you turn it in, you go and file your own paper, gets rejected, who are you going to blame? You're going to blame me. That's why I'm fully hands-on from beginning to end, or where people hire me where their judgment's been rejected and they take over, I do a full review, start to finish, of their divorce. So I have to go back. If it's a five-year-old divorce case, I have to get all the documents from 5 years ago and review someone's petition, proof of service, make sure all that's good to go, because those will cause the judgment to reject if there's errors there. And so, and that even takes me longer to do than if you started from scratch for me. And what's, you know, interesting enough, people who do their own divorce and get a rejection feel like, why are you charging me this fee? Because I've already done all the work. Well, you haven't. You've done this work, but it's all, not all, but incorrect. And I have to go over everything. And it, again, like I said, it takes me longer to review 5 years of history, 3 years of history, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, whatever it is of your divorce case, all your paperwork, filing. Plus, if it's not something I can request online or you don't have them, I have to make a written request to the court, to, and that takes time. It takes so much longer. But here's the interesting thing. I have to reduce, or I should say, I feel like I have to reduce my fee, and always have. If you've started your divorce, even if you have assets, debts, and kids and all that, even if your paperwork's totally screwed up, I charge a lesser fee to take over your case because I know your mentality. You're like, Tim, I already did all this. I already did the petition, the filing, all this. You don't know that it takes me twice as long or four times as long to correct, review, and do all that. So there's no way I can, in my mind, sell my service. Tell me if I'm wrong at the normal rate if you've already started divorce, because I'm going against what the grain of what you think. You think, Tim, I'm 99% there. I'm like, yeah, you're like 3% there. But I know I have to reduce my fees for those of you who have started your costs. And I've done that for the last 12 years. I just know how that's going to work in your mind. So not telling you to start your own divorce just so you can save money. Say, Tim, we have assets, debts, and kids. And you know, if it's $11.99, and so I'm going to file on my own and then hire you. I mean, you can do that, but if you, I guess that's where I'm shooting myself in the foot. I don't think there's people out there necessarily doing that. Okay, next subject. And if you're on the podcast listening, I'm sorry about the cost. Man, my voice, but we're 42 minutes into this. It starts to go after a while, which is interesting because I'm on consultations all day long. All right, I want to talk about a case of, did she hire me yet? Yeah, she did hire me because her case is completely done. Here's someone that hired me. They were in the Army, was using their base legal, and was able to, they were able to help her file the initial petition, serve their spouse. But when it came to the next steps, their base legal said, oh, just contact the court for the next steps. It's, you know, follow their instructions. Here's my notes. Most people can file and serve, but that's when it gets tricky. They hired me, and I was able to finalize the remaining paperwork the same day. And since it was in LA County, I was able to submit it via e-file. So check this out. They haven't been working on their divorce too long. They're still within the six-month window, but they're trying to do base legal, right? That's they're entitled. They're in the service, the military, and, you know, apparently base legal was not understanding of the process. They could help them do the initial summons and petition, and they're probably paralegals. I don't know what those folks do, but once it got past the summons and petition, they couldn't be of any more assistance than anyone else that gets stuck at that point. So anyways, she hired me, and let me know if you're in the military, cause I gave her a discount. Right. So gave her a discount and reviewed her paperwork. That part was right. Someone's petition, proof of service, and all that was right. And so the consultation was yesterday. They hired me overnight. I came into the office this morning and saw that they hired me. I just grabbed all their paperwork off the website, downloaded it. And again, it was all correct. And I was able to finalize their paperwork, send out for electronic signatures. And as soon as they sign, I'll submit that to court, and it'll probably be approved in a couple of days. So I just wanted to bring that up. All right, what do I have next for you? Talked about the process server being $225. That's just crazy. Did a bunch of videos today. 3,400 videos just on YouTube. Double that between the rest of the platforms, Facebook, TikTok, all that. Don't be afraid to call me. Don't be afraid to set up a consultation. Don't use me and abuse me. Set up a call just to get some free help because you don't want to wait in line for the self-help center or they're giving you wrong information, which is normally the case. But look forward to assist you. Again, thanks everyone for the last 12 years of using my service, and those in the future, if you're watching this, give me a call, schedule a consultation. Look forward to talking to you. Hope you enjoyed episode 60 of The Daily Perspective. Have a good evening. Talk to you soon.